You know, Julie Fowdy, I bet you that 25, 30 years ago, what Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame football coach and now general manager for the Buffalo Bills, just said could have been an accurate statement of women's sports, in that I think women had not proven that they could stand up and be organized the way they have today. What do you think about that?
Say that again? What did he say?
When Marv Levy said, you know, what do you think I'm going to do, just lie in a fetal position and whimper? When I look at this rights, this declaration of rights, this explanation that you have put together, I think of the quantum leap from a generation ago where you could have said women's sports did have to get in the fetal position, that they did not have a sense of continuity, a sense of cohesion, a sense of strength that they do today.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that's basically why for years we've wanted to write this athletes' rights document, because you know, for so long you felt like you were alone, and it was this epiphany when I realized, you know, we played on the national team, that group of us, for 17 years, and so we were lucky in a sense that we didn't have a high rate of turnover, and so we understood the history and the progression. But you never realized what others had gone through before you, and sitting with Billie Jean King for the first time and hearing about what she did in tennis and their round table of eight and the $1 contracts, and all these athletes are going through the same things, but they're isolated in a sense in that we weren't as organized together, and we didn't know what the others were going through. And so, you know, I sat with Billie for a long time and talked about, you know, what they went through with tennis and how could we improve our sport, and you know, on and off the field. And and, you know, I just realized a lot of people don't have that access. They don't have that knowledge base or a mentor to go to and tell them about all the past mistakes they made and don't make them again. So that's kind of the basis behind this athletes' rights document, because you're always hearing, you know, athletes, female athletes from other sports saying, you know, I'm tired of this, and this is what's happening to us, and how can we change these things? And they're all the same theme, so we just decided, gosh, why can't we put something in writing that at least gives them some knowledge and some perspective?
Well, let's look at this table of contents, first of all, because it is a rather significant document, the important governance documents such as what is the Ted Stevens Olympic and Amateur Sports Act, why are the bylaws of the United States Olympic Committee important, and then you skip down to number six, does any law protect athletes who experience discrimination on the basis of sex, race, color, religion, age, national origin, or disability? Why don't we just, since we only have 10 minutes, let's go into this. What do we have in this document that in particular you want people to know about?
Well, it's a good primer for background. Like, one of the things we found out is athletes just don't know. They don't understand what their rights are. So it gives a lot of detailed information on the Ted Stevens Amateur Sports Act, and which is basically the law that established all these NGBs, national governing bodies that oversee all these sports. And it talks about there's no real document that addresses our athletes' rights. This is the one that comes closest to that. So it talks about how it protects athletes from discrimination and a variety of different issues. And all of these are themes that athletes deal with over the years competing. They just never knew they had a process to use to fight it or to say, you know, this isn't right, this isn't fair, this isn't equitable, or this isn't what we visioned as a group, as a team. So it covers, you know, from, you know, what's my rights in terms of marketing, what's my rights in terms of how they can use my name and likeness, to, can they discriminate on the basis of pregnancy? Can they discriminate on the basis of color? I mean, there's just, and it's great in that team selection, eligibility for competition. It touches on a lot of these different areas and gives them a resource to further educate themselves. I've always been a big believer, and this is one of the things we learned with the national team, and again, I think having played together for so many years, it helped because we had this continuity, but is that we had to go in and understand it and learn it and really talk to a lot of different lawyers and talk to a lot of different people like Billie Jean King and pioneers before us, and then we could say, okay, what do we want for the next generation? How do we want to make it better? And what are our options? And so this helps in terms of telling athletes.
Julie, I thought that dispute resolution and grievances are really important. When I remember the importance of labor rights that the NFL Players Association accomplished. One was, and you see it and read about it almost every week or two in the NFL, a player is cut while he's still injured. A player is injured in a way that will impact his or her career for the rest of their lives, and yet there, until 20 years ago, there really was not a lot of opportunity to protect their rights.
Right.
What is available today?
Well, it's interesting because that's a big topic in this this athletes' rights document is, you know, what is the process for those type, if those types of things happen to you, what is available to you? And most of those things have been resolved through an arbitration process just because it's timely and it's speedy, and instead of these athletes having to wait through a judicial process that may take, you know, months or even a year to be resolved, and then they lose their opportunity to compete in that competition. They've done, you know, many things through an arbitration process, which is interesting because then things aren't documented. They're not required to have a case book and a history. And so it's really hard then to kind of gather all these, the history together and say, okay, you know, when in this instance, these 10 things happened to these 10 different people in these 10 different arbitration cases because they've never been documented. And that's another thing we're trying to do is trying to build some type of history so athletes can say, okay, I can read about it because I can see what's happened to the softball team. I can see what's happened in track and field or whatever sport. But arbitration is basically the way that most go through this right now with athletes.
Given that we only have a couple minutes here, let's make sure that we know how to get in touch with you, with the Women's Sports Foundation, how people that want to learn more about this, whether it's leagues at the professional level or whether it's even parents that want to make sure that their kids are protected as well.
Right. They can go on to the Women's Sports Foundation website, which is womenssportsfoundation.org, and the athletes' rights document is right on the front there under Foundation Updates. And they can read more about it there, and it also tells them how to get in touch with the Women's Sports Foundation. There's a whole advocacy department at the Women's Sports Foundation that can advocate on their behalf. And, you know, we've also contended that this isn't just for elite athletes at the national team level, that national governing bodies also have to protect at the grassroots level, because if a child's being discriminated at the grassroots level, then the likelihood of them being able to make it to a national team or to an Olympics is obviously diminished. So
we're talking with Julie Fowley, and Julie, can you promise to come on in a few weeks and we'll go into some more depth about this? It's too important to cover in just 15 minutes.
Yeah, no problem, Nick. Thank you for doing this, though. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and you know, I love the fact that you're just one more example of athletes that have become leaders, not just on the field, but off the field, not just for the money, not just for the professional end, but for athletes that are growing up into a whole brave new world, if you will, of performance and competition. Thanks again.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Julie. When we come back, it's our usual Monday morning quarterback with legendary Len Dawson, formerly for 24 years, the host of Inside the NFL on HBO, and we'll be joined in our last segment by the very shy Sam Huff to talk about the Redskins, Tampa Bay, the Giants' Monday night game, and more. It's all on Head Games Radio. You're listening to the Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.